here. Obvious, we got a problem here. And it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity True Crime Comedy Podcast. I'm Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman. Can't you tell, man? Gonna post on.
No, this is kind of annoying. I don't know how long have we been doing this podcast, and you still don't get the buttons right.
It's a new board, man. You know it's a new board.
But don't it tells you on the screen what buttons do what. You come
it's
on here and you start
the
show.
The best vision.
You come on here and start the show, and then
you know I have astigmatism. I can't believe you're calling me out like this in front
of
everybody.
You come on here and start the show, and then when it's my turn to be introduced, my whole introduction is fucked up.
With awesome air horns that get
the
people going?
I want the... my traditional entrance, my
okay.
Entrance song.
I'll do. Yeah, well, no, we'll start over. I need high energy though. If you want to start over, then you need to bring more energy. Then hey, what's up, man? What it is? So we're gonna take it from the top. We're gonna do it live.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman. Can't you tell, man? Gonna post it.
What is up, man? What?
Take three.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman. Can't you tell, man? Gonna post on.
Welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder. I am your host, Francel Evans. What is going on, man? What's happening?
I like it. I like that one. I like that one. What's going on, dude?
Nothing, man. I did have something I wanted to talk to you about, but I completely forgot.
That's okay.
I have something else I wanted to talk to you about, but it's kind of... I don't know where the conversation is going to go, so I didn't know if I wanted to talk to you about it on the phone, like off the mics.
Oh, you think you're going to get explicit and get us canceled?
No. I don't know. I am curious where the conversation will go, though.
Okay, well, put a pin in it real quick, because I need to give you your flowers for a hot second. It has been quite a week for me. On Sunday or such, or Saturday, over the weekend, Fran started a GoFundMe for me.
Yeah.
And the people came through, man. I'm really appreciative. So many kind words, so many people taking time out of their day to make it to share. It's people taking time out of money out of their wallet and to make a donation. People sent some really kind words. It just was a lot, and I'm really appreciative. There was a young lady named Nina that reached out and asked if we had like a Amazon wish list for our baby.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, sure, but don't feel any obligation to do that. She asked for it. I shared it with her. She sent us a couple of baby gifts, which was like,
ooh, okay.
You know, it's one thing to get a donation, but to see some baby gifts show up and you get all excited and warm feeling when you lay out some, you know, baby toys and stuff like that. So it's been a very community love-filled few days for me, and it's been an amazing experience. And so I want to say thank you to you for being a beyond solid friend, and I want to say thank you to our community and anybody who wasn't in our community who just saw a share and, you know, took some money out of their pocket or took a kind word and sent it my way. I just am really appreciative, so I just want to give you guys a round of applause and say thank you for those kind gestures. Now, you're not gonna, nobody's getting me emotional on this podcast, so I'm gonna throw it to you.
Yeah,
and you say what
okay
you want to say.
A tear in there. So give me a little. Best buddies, man. It's okay. But I do have an issue. issue is, now after the whole, you know, after the links were sent out and the GoFundMe went on the socials and everything, I got this influx of friend requests on Instagram. Now, I don't know if it's because like people wanted to add me because They see I'm such a great person. I don't know. I guess they see how great of a friend I am. And they was like,
sure.
Well, let's add.
I'm sure.
Let's send a friend request. And all the people started adding me. I said, what is. I said, I said, okay. I mean, I'll take it.
Do you have an issue with that?
Yeah, I just don't. Now people want to, because they see I'm a good person.
Oh, you're saying keep that same energy. Why y'all want to be my friend now?
Because
you found out how good of a friend I am?
Yeah.
You think I'm going to start a GoFundMe for you?
Yeah, not everybody want to have me. I said, look at this.
Well, Fran is not just starting GoFundMe for anybody who adds him on Facebook or Instagram. Don't think that that's the way in.
I will not be doing that. But there was some people that reached out and inboxed me and asked for the link. Shout out to those people. I don't know if I should say those people. Here. We know who they are, but I don't know if I'm not going to say who they are on the show. But
sure, we don't have to blow.
Shout out to those people.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way and say thank you to everybody again. It was super appreciated, and we're good. You know, my lady's good, the family's good, everybody's good. But a little bit of security helps, and you guys provided that, so I'm really appreciative of you guys. And
great community,
appreciative
man.
To you as well. Fantastic community.
Great community.
I've felt that for a long time, but. Yeah. This one really like eye opened,
absolutely
opened my eyes for sure. Yeah,
somebody posted on the post I put up, and I thought it was funny. I don't think new listeners would get. At least I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like an inside joke. I don't think new listeners would get, but I can't remember her name. But she was like, "So what are you going to do if it hits the goal?"
Yes.
I thought that was
notoriously for people that have been around for a while. Fran once on a good vibe story, we talked about somebody starting to GoFundMe for somebody, and the goal was like 50 grand, but they got 100 grand. And Fran was like, oh, I'm keeping that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, I got you what you needed. What do you want?
There's a fee involved now at this point.
Yeah. This is my finder's fee. But you said you had something. I mean, do you want to?
Oh, you know what? Don't even worry about it. Let's get past it. Don't even worry about it.
Okay. Oh, before we take a quick break, hey, Portland is
weeks shit.
Away.
Yeah.
We are going to Portland, folks. There are still a few tickets left. If you do not have a ticket to the Affirmative Murder X Madison McGee live show in Portland, Oregon, what are you doing? Are you in the PNW area? Are you nearby? We got people flying in. So if you're you're not close and you still want to have a good time, we're going to be talking conspiracy theories. It's going to be a fun night. I think this place probably serves alcohol. I don't know for sure, but I believe so. It's a bar. So if you're not doing anything on May 4th, if you're not doing anything on May 4th, man, come on down to I don't know the name of the place right at this moment, but in the link it has all the details. The link is in the show description.
It's important. We know that.
We know. I know one thing for a fact. It's in Portland, Oregon.
It's in Portland, for sure.
I know that for a fact. So, you know, we'll start with that information, and May 4th is the date, and we'd love to see you. We got a few tickets left. You know, get them while they're hot, and we'd love to see anybody who has a ticket. Thank you. We'll see you there, and be prepared to have a good night. But, like I said, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around. Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP. That's A, M as in Mother's Day. P at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's mylifeinabook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today. All right, and we are back, folks. One thing I want to do is apologize in advance. I have a sinus infection, so if my voice sounds a little gravelly, I'm trying to cut down on the sniffles and stuff, but I got this post-nasal drip going, and I'm trying to work through it because the show must go on, so just apologies in advance. Fran,
yep.
Do you want to set up? We don't have to say specifically because I'm going to go over the history of this long talked about on this podcast scene, if you will, this subculture, but what are we talking about on this pod?
We are talking about the, I don't know what word, should I say infamous? No?
I would say infamous. I would say prolific, maybe controversial.
Let's go with controversial. Let's use that. The controversial Squeegee Boys that, you know, who you have your run-ins with. We all have our run-ins with.
I had one just this past weekend.
Yeah, maybe you more than others, because I don't travel down those areas too much, so I don't.
I am in Squeegee Boy territory, for sure.
Yeah, but the Squeegee Boys, man. Baltimore City, the Squeegee Boys.
Yeah. So let's get into it, man, because this is the history in doing a little dive in this. This is not like a super researchy, heavy episode. It's going to be more of a feeling with some examples. But me just doing a little short dive into the history of Squeegee Boys, this goes back further than I even realized. So, Fran, did you know that in 1985, the city council voted 11-7? They voted to ban the practice of squeegeeing and call for arrests. So, like, if you were caught squeegeeing, you would be arrested on spot. This was in 1985. So, and they were called Squeegee.
Wow.
I read an article from back then that called them Squeegee Boys. So this is not a new term. They've been around. This has been an issue for some time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it went that far back.
Yeah. So, like I said, there was a vote passed. Not only banned squeegeeing, but you'll be arrested if you're caught squeegeeing. This was in 1985.
It made more sense. It seems like that. It made more sense back in the 80s, 90s.
How so? What do you mean?
Because I don't think cars had automatic.
Oh, like you mean the job of being a squeegee boy.
The job of being a squeegee boy. I think.
Yeah,
I
think in the 80s, maybe getting windshield wipers was like a perk. Or like what they call it? Like that's an addition. Like if you want windshield wiper fluid and automatic windshields, you need to pay another premium of like $500.
You got to go up another tier of level of a car or whatever. The trim or whatever. Then the average person didn't have that type of
so you could justify coming
function
and
on it,
asking to wipe my windshield off.
Yeah, and then more people had cash, so it just
this is true.
I don't think it made
it's an
it
archaic.
That big of a
it's
deal.
An archaic job, is what you're saying. Like it probably its peak
it is
was 85.
Now
it shouldn't, but it does still exist. 1985 is like it makes sense. Everybody has cash in hand.
Yeah,
maybe some cars don't have windshield wiper fluid.
Right.
I hit a puddle of mud and it splashed on my windshield and it's a little gritty. Here's $2, man. You can wipe my windshield off.
Wipe them off.
But today?
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
Not
at You're
all.
Just a charity case. And that's fine. But we're going to put a pin in it. I don't even want to get too hot out of the gate. We're going to temper it down a bit, cuz you already got me about to fire off.
All right.
So
I'm sorry about that.
I'm going to relax. But yes, this is probably the value of this job peaked in 85.
Right.
When they banned it. They banned it at its peak.
At its peak. It was so many people. They was like, we make it.
Yeah, this is the hottest job in town.
Well, the IRS was like, wait.
Where's all the.
We can't. We not.
There's
we
no W-2s going out. I'm seeing all these kids with gold
rings. That's who banned it. That's who banned
it. We need to find out how to. We got to figure out how to tax this. And if we can't, it's illegal.
It's
like
illegal.
Drugs. Yeah. Now, this was. The black members of the council kind of denounced the proposal as racist because the young entrepreneurs, as they say, this is directly from the article from 85, the young which is crazy to call these kids that, don't send me articles about the kids that started a water bottle company or whatever. That's entrepreneurship.
This is a level of entrepreneurship. Come on, don't do that.
It's panhandling, bro. It's panhandling. I'm all for, you know,
I disagree with you. It is a type of panhandling, but they're doing a job. They're working for. They're not just out here standing with a sign in their hand. They're actually doing some work. They're doing something.
You got me.
Right or wrong?
No, you're right, man. And maybe you can go out there and start paying kids to cobble shoes. You know, instead of going to a store where the shoes are already made, you can take time out of your day and pay these kids to cobble you shoes from wood trees. And that's a job too. It's a job that is outdated and isn't necessary anymore, but it's a job. You're right. They are doing a job. I don't think the job has any value anymore, so it's no different to me than panhandling.
Okay.
Because most of the time I'm going, here's the money. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just, hey, man, here's $5. Stay safe and don't put that shit on my windshield.
Well, you're telling me not to do it, though. I'm offering you a service, and you're telling me, here, man, take this. Don't touch my windshield.
Yeah. You just saved me my fluid. I was going to do the job for you. That's your argument?
I'm saying that.
You just saved me fluid.
Yeah. Now I got, there's an extra car waiting for me at the end of my shift. Now, I done saved five sprays.
I got some extra fluid left.
I got some extra sprays left.
That's a two-for-one special.
Exactly. That's a win-win. I just made some money by doing absolutely nothing.
Okay. No, listen.
I wouldn't say it's a job. That's not.
They called them entrepreneurs in this article, and you agreed. So.
But it's not.
You got to pick a fence, man. Pick a side of the fence. Is it a job or is it not a job? They're entrepreneurs, bro. I will proceed. Don't get me fired up this early, because now I sound like a bad guy before I even. I sound biased. I'm trying to remain unbiased as I lay out the history of the Squeegee Boys, and I am an unbiased party as I go through this. Don't make me look like the anti-Squeegee Boy guy, because I didn't give these kids plenty of cash over the decade. I didn't give them plenty of cash. So like I said, it was a divisive bill. You know, the black side of the council, the white side of the council, the black side really saw like this was targeting these young black kids just trying to survive, you know, and make some money. Now, Congressman Perrin Mitchell, who was the first African-American to represent Maryland on the council, denounced the public hysteria towards the Squeegee Kids, saying that they were just trying to make money and survive. So basically he was saying this bill is it's too much. It's going too far. Arresting kids who are just trying to eat. It's evil. And to a point, I can agree with that. Right. But the point ends as time goes on and we get to some of the examples of things that have happened. And Squeegee Boys are not a monolith, right? Like, there's Squeegee Boys out there that are, if you tell them no, they move on. I don't think it's necessarily fair for the actions of some of the Squeegee Boys to represent all of the Squeegee Boys. But what I will say is I've had more even unsavory interactions than I've had just like, hey, man, you got some money on you? I'm just trying to make a living for myself. I go, I don't, man, but I wish if I did, I would help you. And it's like, well, God bless. Have a good day. At the very least, it's like a frowned up face, or they do it anyway, and they get mad because they're like, I did it. You're not going to give me some money? And that's more of the experiences that I've had than like, I don't have it, and they're cool with me not having it. And there's no kind of animosity or something, just a discomfort when I'm just trying to get to the store.
You mean like they do the job without asking?
Without asking, I'm like, no, I'm good. They spray it, and then it's like, can you give me some money for? I just did my job. It's like, I was saying no.
Well, it's like maybe it's like a sample, it's like in Costco.
It's not a sample because they're like hand out. Like here, can you give me some money?
They sprayed already though. Where they go like they spray it, you go no, and they go psh, 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 and they wipe it, and you go they go look at this,
look at how
look
amazing
how clean,
it is.
Look like, how look at
oh
where this
wow, you're right. Well, here you go. Oh, right. Yeah, wow, I didn't know it was gonna be that good of a job.
Yeah,
you turn me around.
Yeah, exactly. They don't ask. Listen, you haven't got the Cash App. I've gotten that one,
bro. And I will get into that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I will get into that.
Gotcha.
But no, that is another tactic. Now that we've gone into the modern times and the new century, they've now gone, you don't have cash? Oh, that's no problem. You can Venmo me. You can Cash App me, which is crazy. Now they're trying to say to you, the one excuse that you have, why am I even talking to you? I'm in a car. I'm trying to get somewhere. Why am I even having a conversation with you? You go, I don't have any cash, man. Sorry. That's okay. You got Cash App? Show me your Cash App barcode. I'll bump you my ID on Cash App and you can just send me some money. I'm not getting out apps while I'm at the light. You're getting me fired up, bro. I am an unbiased party, okay? This is an objective podcast, okay? God, don't get me started this early. So anyway, the then police chief sought a ban on squeegeeing because some of the drivers had complained that they felt threatened by the youths and because he was concerned about the safety of the squeegee kids. This is in 1985.
Wow.
People's concerns were proven valid when on August 5th, 1986, a 14-year-old squeegee kid was fatally struck by a truck at a busy intersection.
Mm.
It was the first fatality among squeegee-wielding workers, according to police. So in 1985, they called for a ban. The ban did not pass in 1985, saying that the kids need to get off the street.
Oh.
And then all these people were calling it racist, and that's why it didn't pass. So I said it did pass, but it didn't pass in 1985. So now people, it's 1985, people are saying, listen, I can't believe this ban didn't pass. We got to get these kids off the street. People are not feeling safe, and it's not safe for the kids. Boom. A year later, a kid dies getting hit by a truck.
Wow.
When there was a vote.
You can't ban panhandling?
I think it was just because you know, Baltimore is a predominantly black city.
Right.
But there are plenty of white people in positions of power in Baltimore. Stuff's going to get split. So because it was controversial in the sense that people felt like it was racist, they won not passing the bill. Okay. You know, but it was a close vote because there were some white people there that were like, no, no, these kids are dangerous. I don't feel safe driving around. So the vote was, like I said, it was 11-7. So that was mostly black people voting. It was 11 no's and 7 yeses. Yes means the bill passes. No means the bill doesn't pass. So 11 people voted no, 7 people voted yes, and the bill didn't pass. And then people were saying the fact that this bill was even proposed is mad racist. These kids are just trying to make some money to feed their families, and you know, this is not right. And then other people were saying, no, it's not cool for these kids to be making people feel uncomfortable, and it's not safe for them to be out there. And then a year later, a kid got hit by a truck and he died, a kid that was squeegeeing. So kind of the seven yeses were kind of proven right in a sense. That's not to say that it wasn't steeped in racism, the idea of the ban.
Yeah.
But a kid was killed when he's getting hit by a truck. These kids are in the middle of, I don't even think you can really explain it if you haven't seen it. Like, if you've never been here or been to Atlanta, I think they have kids that sell water bottles in Atlanta. I think every city has some version of it. But these kids are on, like, major interstates, busy roadways, just kind of running through traffic, running up to cars. So it is it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a kid, right? Because a lot of these news channels go down and interview these kids about what are their experiences like. And these are children, bro. There was one person who said, you know, these kids need to, you know, feed their family or provide for themselves. It's like, this is a bigger issue because a 15-year-old, that should not be his responsibility. Now, obviously, we can't solve poverty and these things and family structures overnight. But squeegee boys are a symptom of a bigger problem. And going down and interviewing the kids, it's like, of course, yeah, these kids are experiencing gang violence and have had hard lives and everything. But that doesn't mean you get to go out there and make people feel uncomfortable out on the road. It's just like, it's such a hard conversation, man, because a lot of people who don't see it firsthand, or a lot of people with a different level of patience, or who are living that outreach type of life, go, if they approach you and you approach them with love and listen to their story, then they just want some, they'll treat you nice. But it's like, that's not my responsibility while I'm on my way to work. If we're talking about having outreach programs and stuff, that's cool. But I can't be like, well, you know, this kid probably had a hard life. So let me, while I'm at this red light, let me roll my window down and say, hey, brother, let me hear your life story. And let me, you know, let me treat you respectfully and take my time out of my day and then give you some money. It's like they need to have outreach programs for that, because that's not my job. On the road, I didn't sign up for that. Now, somebody who did sign up for that might pull up to these kids at a light and go, what are you guys doing out here? God bless you. And that's nice. Like, that's cool. But you can't put that on me as a driver to be like, why are you getting so upset that five kids are surrounding your car and they're all asking you for money and spraying your car with windshield wiper fluid and all this shit? It's like, why don't you have compassion? It's like, I have compassion, but like, I'm en route. I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's a hard conversation, but we will continue. I got a little bit off on a rant, but the quote was, honestly, it's confusing. Someone will give you a $10 bill and thank you, and the very next person will cuss you out. How do you make sense of that when you didn't do one thing different? Which, again, from their perspective, kind of is everything I just said. Even if your approach remains the same, it's not every person's job to, like, hear your story.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just not the place. It's just, there's a time and a place for compassion. I've given money to these kids. I've given money to homeless people. I've heard their stories. I've talked to them. It's not, every day is not the time for that. When I'm on my way somewhere, I'm late to something.
Yeah.
The light's green. I don't have time to sit here and have you give me your story as to why you deserve the five, you need the $5. And I get it. But for the kids that no means no, that's great. But that's not every instance. And I've had more instances where it's some kind of, come on, man, you don't nothing. That's like, their light's green, bro. Like, we're haggling. Like,
But I mean, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
Because
I know there's people that are hearing this and think I'm being crass or insensitive or something. So please play devil's advocate.
So it's like, when you these kids are out here, man, and they are in these inner city kids who are out here trying to make some type of money, to make some type of living for like themselves, family, whatever.
Sure, to eat. I get it. I'm not right. I'm not heartless.
There could be some level of anger that's built up when it's like, man, I need to. I've been out here for 8 hours, whatever. I made like $2. I need to eat. And now it's like I'm on this seventh hour, and it's like now I'm getting frustrated. I don't know how I'm gonna get my next meal. I don't know how I'm gonna feed my siblings or whatever. They probably can just snap where it's just like, man, you ain't got a dollar, you ain't got something.
But
man,
that's
give me
not,
something.
But that's not on me, because the cold part is what you're
I know,
saying.
I know, I get that. But I mean, like, it's just
you being mad at me. It's like I'm hungry. It's like, bro, I'm sorry, you're hungry, but
I don't think it's intentional.
I get frustration.
Though. I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just
of
like,
course, it's the situation. It's the circumstance.
But it's like, now I'm not saying I want you to feel bad for me. Well, I do if I'm them, because I want you to give me some money. But I mean, right. Like, between me and you talking, I'm like, I don't expect you to feel bad for them. But I mean, like, if you need to eat, put yourself in them shoes when you need to eat, and now you're getting angry. People, you trying to out here do something positive, makes a little bit of money, but you're not making nothing.
Of course.
And like, I don't know how I'm going to eat later on. Now I'm getting angry. Man, give me some money. And you start, it could go left.
But look,
real
check
quick.
This out. All that stuff, let's just say all that stuff you were saying is first person. It's like,
yeah,
I don't have any cash, man. I'm sorry.
Well, just say you don't have anything. When you go, I don't have cash, they go, you
why do I have to police like, my work?
I don't know, man.
I'm
but
going
you,
to the grocery store, or I'm going to a wedding. Like, I don't want to have to be like, I should have said I don't have anything. I'm like, I'm broke too. Or I don't know.
Some, or I'm like, just, man, if I come to you, be like, bro, let me hold $5. You're like, nah, man, I always got 10. All right, let me hold the 10. I'll give you change back. I mean,
you
like,
you are my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's,
I'm not just saying.
But well, I only got a 20. Well, let me get the 20. Man, if you don't get away from my car, like what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
be
I
like,
don't
well,
know.
To me, you're implying when you go, I don't have cash, I go like, all right, well, you got Cash App. If you went, oh man, I don't have it. All right. But I go like, well,
I've
you
done
don't
that
have
too.
Car.
I've
you
said,
don't have
I don't
it?
Got it, man. And they, look can, at, they
right. But I can, if I'm them, I can keep going. I'll go like, well, you don't have it. You driving this car, nice car, you don't have. You got $2? That's when you can get upset.
But that's what I'm saying,
bro. You're lying to me because you don't have to. Now, that's when I understand them getting upset now. Because like, now you're lying to me. Don't lie. Just say, I know you have it.
That's crazy to even have to be like, I don't though. Like, I don't know you guys. Why am I having a debate about me being broke and at a light? It's just such a crazy predicament to be in. And while I understand the struggle, and what a lot of these kids will say is, we could be out here robbing people. We could be out here committing crime. It's like, again, that is not my issue. Like, I hear you, but like, that's crazy to say to me, like, you should give me money because I could be taking it from you. And it's like,
yeah, I could rob you.
Yeah, I could rob you. I'm asking you, but if I could be out here just taking people's money. And it's like, okay, I guess. Like, this is a bigger issue, and being a squeegee boy is not, it's a Band-Aid. It's not even a Band-Aid because it's not a viable solution. So the idea is these kids are out here panhandling on the streets and the sides of the streets to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not a proper alternative to that.
I get that. Yeah, because it's not like a government program or something like that. It's not organized.
You still aren't in school. It's, you're not going to school. Like, this is still bad.
School, yeah. Well, I can't go to school. I got to be here in the busy hours. I got to be out here in traffic.
It's when peak it's hours.
I got to be out here. But I get that. But it's like, all right, man, you got $5 and you go, man, I don't have $5. Well, you got two. Give me $2. It's like, well, if you're not going to pay me for my full job, which is $5, that I prefer, give me $2 for the two sprays that I just wasted on this car.
Just let me
reimburse
get something.
Reimburse me for the sprays or something. Reimburse me for this thing that I stole that I shouldn't.
don't start again, man. Don't start it again. I'm gonna continue because I do have some more quotes from the, from Squeegee Boys. Another quote that I have is, it says, and this is where when I said tone deaf, this is what I mean. But again, it's hard to say tone deaf about a kid. But this is a quote from like a 16-year-old kid. He went, what do you want us to do for money? Cut grass? That's a white people thing. Yeah. There ain't no grass around here, which is not true, bro. I mean, I know we live in the city, but people have yards, man.
It is true. It is. That is 100% true.
Elaborate. What do you mean? Which part is true? It's a white people thing or there's no grass?
I understand what he was saying. Now, I took it as he was saying. Now, when most people think of Baltimore City, we think of row brick homes. Mm-hmm. They have no yard.
There's grass in the back sometimes, though.
No grass. Come on. There's no grass. You don't buy a lawnmower for that. You can go out there with scissors.
Exactly.
Cut
so
that
you don't buy a lawnmower
grass,
for
man.
It. It's getting out of hand. It's dandelions and shit in the grass. You pay one of these kids if they got a lawnmower. Go ahead, run over that. I'll give you $10.
Come on, man. He was saying that, like, man, we don't.
White people have yards like that is crazy. Like, that's
why
people
have yards. We don't have that out here. I gotta get the money. Where am I gonna get a lawnmower from? You want me to steal a lawnmower? Because that's the only way I'm gonna get
now
it done.
Stealing again. You want me to commit crimes?
Come on, man. It's there's a ripple effect. What do you want? If you want me to go out and cut grass, now I gotta steal a lawnmower. Now I gotta steal a weed whacker.
Now it's lawnmower boys. Now they're doing wheelies on the lawnmower, yeah. Trying to intimidate people
to
cut the grass.
Right. Depending on what it is, I gotta buy gasoline. Now I got that's extra money. Oh, I got to walk around with a big-ass 50-foot wire cord. Now I got to ask people, can I plug this into their electricity?
Just let me plug in, bro. You're not going to let me make some money. I'm trying to be an entrepreneur. You can't let me plug into your house?
It's too much overhead for
being a landscaper?
Grass. Yeah. Squeegee boy, all I got to do is get a bottle that I could use infinite amount of times and just get some soap and water, whatever the shit is, put in that thing, and then I'm good. I gotta buy string and fucking wee wax string and a wee wax. It's too much, man. I don't have a car. How am I gonna carry this around? I'm gonna push this up. Come on, dog. Now, man, I'm at risk of getting robbed from somebody else who may take this and sell it for some drugs or something. It's just too much. It's too much going on. It's too much. They can't. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know what would solve this issue for a lot of people? I know there's some kids out there that are 14 and younger. But if you are of age to work, go get a sanctioned job that gives you a W-2 and a paycheck. And that's all I don't know, bro. I don't know what the solution is.
A job, man? I don't have time to sit at a job, man. I need to eat.
You know how much money? And this is what I'm saying. Yeah. When they come in
now
and interview these
weeks.
Kids, they're like, you want me to go work and get the paycheck? I made $100 today. It's like, that's not helping your case, bro. You're basically saying, I'm too good to work a job.
Perfect segue.
I don't think that's the right approach, bro. Like, I need money now. I mean, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, come, but once you get into a rotation of it, the money will feel more coming in more regularly.
Hey, man, this is perfect. Because you know how much they make? And this was from 2020. February 7th of 2020. You know how much they make?
The average Squeegee boy?
Yes.
Please.
The Maryland Governor Hogan, this was in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
They say squeegee workers make 40 to 50 an hour. An hour. What?
That's entrepreneurship, man. That's entrepreneurship.
Man, and I understand the
disparity. You want me to go work at McDonald's?
You want me to go do what? You know what I'm making out here? Cleaning up. Man, I would.
You want me to go work
56
hours at McDonald's?
Bro, if it was me, I would be like, I will find a corner. I know it's going to be tough. I'll find a street.
Real estate is the hardest part. They out here fighting for real estate.
I would have an apron on with the all kinds of bottles, fucking sprays. Man, it would just be insane.
That's what you just said. My whole issue is brilliant, what you just said. These kids, why don't one of these kids start a business?
True.
Squeegee Inc. or bring some professionalism to it. Give me a reason to do a full service car wash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Make me want to, you know, level up.
Levels, yep.
You all pull in. Now you guys do auto detailing. You guys come right to the person to hit the wheels and everything. Buy some ShamWows. My whole point is they don't care. It's like they are putting no effort into the job, and that's why it feels like panhandling. It's like, man, you want me? Come on, man. I wiped it off, man. Come on, man. Give me some money. They're not like, man, hey, how you doing? But don't let me bust you down. They're not treating it like it's a job. They're treating it like, you see me out here with this bottle and the squeegee. Give me some money. But that's a great point. Yeah, put the apron on. Get some fucking.
Oh, that'd be insane. Oh, yeah. I have like a thing with double spray. Oh, that'd be insane.
If a little, man, imagine a little 14-year-old kid coming up to me with a little mini squeegee and he squeegees my side mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
What's your Cash App? This dude's professional.
From.
Yeah, it's professional.
But they call me Lil Squeegee. Brush. Now we're in a conversation. Like, they call me Lil Squeegee.
Got shirts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on, bro. His specialty is he hits the side view mirrors with his little squeegee. That's why they call him Lil Squeegee.
Yeah.
Don't call these people entrepreneurs if it's not giving entrepreneur. That's my issue with it. It's like they are doing the bare minimum. And I know they're kids or whatever, but then then we need to tell them, then we got to get them off the streets because these are kids. These kids shouldn't be working. But if we're going to treat them like they're workers and come up with these programs, they had a program 2 years ago where they were talking about paying kids to not squeegee. They were talking about using our tax dollars. Now it's like, if I'm not a squeegee boy, I'm just going to go down there and say I am.
Yeah.
I'm a squeegee boy. I'll stop doing it. What do I get, $200 a week? I'm a squeegee boy, and I'm not going to squeegee now.
Yeah, but you got to come down there with your squeegee card, though. You got to come down there with your bottle and your thing.
That's
your,
cool.
I don't even know what that thing is called. What is that? What is it called?
A squeegee.
Oh, that's called a squeegee?
What did you think that was, like, the action? What did you think? What is that's a squeegee.
I thought the movement of the, like, on the windshield was the
squeegee. Yeah. No, it's the tool and the sound, it's man. The yeah, it's onomatopoeia.
That thing
man.
Is called a squeegee.
Yeah, it's a squeegee.
Hey, man, I did not know.
You learned something every day, man.
I don't have. What do I don't? It's that thing
I
is non-existent.
I
don't, what
I
do I need that for?
I don't have that. I don't have it.
I don't know what that is, man. I did not know if it's called a squeegee. I thought it was called a. Yeah, it is called a squeegee.
So, I've seen news outlets frame the squeegee boy. I don't want to say pandemic. That word has been overused over the last couple of years. But the Absolutely. Epidemic, I don't know. Squeegee boy issue has been framed by a lot of people as a racial issue. Like, basically, they're saying that white transplants come into Baltimore and they're not used to the visiting the city. And they have these negative interactions with the local hardworking squeegee boys. And All right. while that yeah. might be partially true, I'm sure there's some people that are like, I'm from further out in the county of Maryland, or I'm from D.C. I don't know about this.
You don't know that.
There's plenty of black. I have people at my job, black people, brown people that have had bad interactions with squeegee boys. This is not white people overreacting to young black energy and hard. They're not used to seeing the energy of young black kids. Like, that's not the case. I'm black. I've had negative experiences with squeegee boys. This is not a racial issue. This is not solely a racial issue. There might be some white people that are like, don't touch my car. Don't surround my car. Even if you're all the well-intentioned group of 12-year-old kids, I don't want you guys around my car. I got my kids in the back. I don't like them being around black people. I'm not saying it can't be partially racially based in times of the negativity that these kids experience. But I wanted to give an example of it not being racial, right? Mm-hmm. And it also brings up some stuff that we brought up. So in 2022, a 26-year-old man named Zamil Dixon picked up two men and a teenager who were squeegeeing at the intersection of Moravia Road and Sinclair Lane. Dixon offered them a couple of $100 to help him move some stuff from one place to another. Hmm. The three accepted the offer and were taken to Dixon's home. When they got out of the car and walked to the back porch, Dixon reportedly asked them, "Who did this to my mom?
Huh?
Who took the money the other day?" It was a setup. A couple of weeks prior, Zamil's mother was approached at an intersection by some squeegee boys. She informed them that she didn't have any money, but offered to make a small donation on Cash App. When she got home later that day, she saw that she had, in fact, been hit up for $2,200.
She must have gave him the phone then.
She gave him the phone and were like, just go ahead and take $10 or whatever.
You know I did that the other when we was in Vegas?
When we saw those kids when we were leaving that restaurant? Yeah. You gave him the phone?
Yeah, man.
But we approached, and again, that's why I'm like, save your email, save your DMs, bro. Because I didn't do that for any kind of reason. But we left out of there and we were like, we don't have any cash, bro, but we see you out here hustling. They were selling candy.
Yeah.
We stopped. Yep. We chatted with them. We were like, hey, man, keep doing your thing. We dapped them up. If they would have scammed you, I would have been so mad because we really took time to be like, hey, man, stay up. Do your thing. Like, I don't need M&M's right now. I'm in Vegas. I got a bag of M&M's now.
Yeah. They could hit me up easily. I was drunk. They could have hit me up. They could have hit me up. But, hey, the kid didn't. And shout out to him. And he was just out there hustling. He was like, man, I got these, whatever. And just, I was like, you know, I didn't even want. I was like, you know what?
You seem like a good kid.
A good kid, yeah.
And he was. You didn't wake up saying you got hit for $400 for a 100 grand bar. Yeah. So, you know, he was a good kid. We rapped to him for a little bit and we looked out and it felt good to just.
Absolutely.
But I can't do that every day, man. Like, this is not Coach Carter. I'm sorry to sound so like, bro, I'm in the car. I'm trying to get somewhere. I can't do a whole, hey, man, listen, I'm going to start a basketball program. And I can't, bro. I'm in the car. I'm trying to get somewhere. I just can't be expected to hear everybody. I know everybody. I know it's hard. I'm sure, and I feel you, but I can't feed everybody. I got to feed me.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this crazy story. So, like I said, this kid, or this man, this 26-year-old man, this dude, Zamil, he picks up these dudes under the guise of, you know, I got a job for y'all, but then it turns out some squeegee boys.
Just three random dudes, though.
He was on his Liam Neeson shit.
Yeah.
He was like, some dudes with squeegees robbed my mom. I'm going out and grabbing somebody some dudes with squeegees, and somebody's going to come up with $2,200 or getting beat down because I'm mad. Dixon allegedly pulled out a gun and started shooting.
What?
A 17-year-old boy and a 23-year-old man were shot in the head and neck. The third person escaped. Due to there being no witnesses, the case was eventually dropped because both victims survived. So I guess whoever the third guy was ran, didn't come to the police station. The other two dudes didn't, even though they identified him. So I don't know how this whole thing played out, but the charges were dropped. I guess they couldn't find the proper witnesses, but this dude got some squeegee vengeance and beat the charges.
Wow. They knew where he lived at and everything, too.
Maybe he took them to a house. I don't know if he took them to
his house. He had to.
Yeah.
He had to.
But out of the gates, it was like, yeah, I got a job. Like, he hit him with he lined him up.
Yeah.
I got a job. I'm trying to move some furniture. He might have just took him to an abandoned house.
Wow.
Yeah. So, again, that's like this idea
that. He was trying to kill him.
Oh, yeah. He shot him in the head. Yeah, for sure. They should be dead. But I use that as an example because. I don't like the narrative that there's all these white tourists coming here and fucking up the flow of the squeegee boys, and those are the only people that have issues with squeegee boys. Like, they are kind of a nuisance in general, like black, white, and different. It doesn't matter. So I don't like that narrative that this is like a race-based white people hating on these kids trying to make a dollar thing. Like, I'm not saying that can't be true, but there are plenty of black people who don't like that these kids are out here running around weaving through the traffic in the cars and making people feel uncomfortable. It's not a race issue. At least not today. Maybe in 1985. I don't know 1985. I wasn't alive. But today, I just don't see the racial component being the leading factor of why the squeegee boys are so infamous or controversial. So, as I stated before, Fran, there have been many programs that are half thought out over the years, from job fairs to a proposal for kids to not squeegee in lieu of not squeegeeing, they would receive some kind of payment. I also heard something being floated around about some kind of garbage pickup program. If you don't squeegee, you pick up trash, which I like the idea of. But the issue was like, OK, well, what if these kids just come bring trash from out of their kitchen and they got a bag of trash and they go, all right, give me $20. It's always going to be some kind of like, there's an issue somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, how do we know you clean this trash up from off the streets? I'm just saying we haven't been able to find a, because the issue is bigger than kids being, the issue is like programs from, they're like, yeah, you know, I got plenty, I got 80 bags of trash. They just going to dumpsters and taking bags out of a dumpster.
Oh, what is it? What's the line? Work smart, not hard.
Yeah, work smarter, not hard. Sure. But how does that help the city? It's like,
why would I go pick up when I just, hey, man, look, we can go down Berkshire.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of saps that have cleaned up trash all over the city, and they got these big boxes full of trash bags. We just go to those boxes, take the trash bags out of those, take them down to City Hall. They give us like
$200. $200. Easy day. Leave out. Yeah. Then we do some OT down on Martin Luther King.
Yeah, we go down to Martin Luther King, go grab some bags out of those metal boxes that they got all. It's a whole bunch of, the alleys are full of these metal boxes with trash cans full of trash bags in them. We just go get those trash bags, like, bro, go become a garbage man. Just go get a job as a garbage man, and you could be garbage man and get paid to do the job. Now you're trying to find a hustle to get this money the easiest way. Just go become a garbage man. Now you're being a garbage man.
I want to work on my own terms, man.
You want to be your own, you want to be your entrepreneur.
Yeah, I want to go to work when I feel like.
Don't we all? I got approached by some squeegee kids over the weekend. It went fine. You know, he looked at me crazy because I was black. I already know that. Like, he was like, really? That's another issue I have where it's like, you don't got nothing for me, bruh. Come on, man. You know what we go through. I don't like that. Don't try to appeal to my sensibilities like that. That's not right. But anyway, the person in front of me, guess what they did?
What?
Hit the windshield wiper. They stealing my sauce, bro.
That's fucked up.
Now, I didn't hit the windshield wiper on him, but I was like, I hit him with the, I don't, through the window up, I was like, I don't have it, sorry, man. And he was like, really? And the light turned green, I just rolled on. But yeah, he hit him with the squeegee, he hit him with the windshield wiper fluid.
That's
why do you take such issue with that, bro? I'm just showing you, like, I don't need it. I don't need it, bro. I'm good. I don't need it. My car does it.
That's fucked up. I don't think that's right. That's mean. I just say no, bro. I don't think you need to squeak. That thing sprays all over. It's getting sprayed all on people.
Now they feel disrespected, you know?
Yeah.
That's another issue. Before I can
Well, you go, look, I have a 2022 car. Look, I don't need you to be doing that. I don't need, no thank you.
That was another
That's
thing.
So fucked up. So that was you spraying today, like, getting wet.
Water splashing in their eyes and shit. The fluid splashing in their eyes.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, like, come on, bro. So that was another thing that I saw. I watched the video of the kids. A lot of these kids will go talk to a news outlet if they don't want their faces on camera. And a kid was like, sometimes the interactions only go bad when they come to us disrespectfully. And then I'm not just going to let you disrespect me. Now I'm disrespecting you back because you got to give respect to get respect. And I'm like, this is a 15-year-old kid on the side of the road. I'm telling you not to spray my car, and you do. So you want me to continue to be like, excuse me, please, young man, please don't spray my car. I would appreciate it. Thank you. And then when you don't listen to me and I go, hey, man, stop touching my car. And then you wiping your shit on my, stop touching my car. And it's like, what you say? And it's like, what do you mean I got to give respect to get respect? I don't have to give anything. I'm in my car trying to get somewhere. I'm not trying to have an interaction at all. That's my thing. It's like these kids, and they're kids, so I can't really blame them. But I just see these videos where people are coming up with excuses and being like, well, maybe if you just took time to hear their story out and listen to them and all these things. And I'm just,
in the middle of traffic?
That's my point. It's like, bro, it's just, what do you want me to do? I can't hear the whole Blind Side movie on this. I'm in the road. The light is green. No, I'm just saying it's a nice way to say no, and it's a rude way to say no. And while I agree with that, the issue is bigger than these kids squeezing, and I don't know what the solution is, but it starts with, like, programs, job opportunities for their parents, the parents involved. Like, what is the situation like at home trying to – and it's like almost, it's sad to say, but it's like a whole generation of kids that are kind of just lost. And we got to try to come up with something for the future, like the next generation. Because if you're 15, 16, 17 now, it's hard to like break you out of some of your habits that you have or fix the exigent circumstances that you come from of extreme poverty. We can't like fix that for you. You're almost an adult. Like we can't help you anymore soon. Like it's you're almost just like on your own. And that sucks. So it's like, almost like this whole generation of kids that are going to be lost because they just come from the worst situation possible and they're almost adults. And while I feel for it, I just can't be responsible five times on a commute. Like every light I hit is another kid that needs $5. It's gotten to that point. Like it's not just, well, it's just this one street where they all hang out. And if you'd avoid that street, then you're good. They come out from behind trees and shit. I'm not, you know, I'm just like, I'm serious. Like you won't think they're squeegee boys. And then when the light turns red and you stop, now they just, all of a sudden they pull the squeegee out from like behind a hidden bag. Like they had the squeegee the whole time. It's like, oh, you didn't think you thought I was just somebody walking from the store. No, I'm a squeegee boy. So they got tactics and stuff.
So what are you, why hasn't anybody told them? Cause it seemed like it's just like it's a trend where it's like they see their friends doing it. It was like, oh, well, we make a couple dollars and they just do it instead of somebody going like, hey man, this what we're doing is not sustainable. We can't, all of us can't be here.
Who's gonna say that?
I'm just saying, like, why can't one of them go like, it can't be eight of us on this.
No, they're all like, it's gonna be me.
We're not making no money.
That's where the intensity comes from, because now they're all like, I gotta get to the car.
It's competition.
And now we feel that, because now it's kids surrounding us from the other angles and shit. Because they know it's not enough money to go around. Only one of y'all getting this $5. There's 15 of y'all out here.
Yeah.
So now y'all surrounding the car. No, pay me. I'm spraying on this side. Pay me. Bro,
One of them should go like, hey, man, why are we still doing this? We know. Like, I mean, they know. They know what cars do and don't do now.
It's just a race. There's no logic to it because these are kids. So I don't expect them to have logic. But I agree with you to be like, hey, man, it's one car. It's eight of us. They're not going to give eight people $5. That's $40. You think people just going to give $40 up at a light for a job they don't want done? It's just, I don't know. But anyway, like I said, there's been all these programs that have not worked. They've fallen flat. But and the squeegee boys have continued to persist over the years. But one incident quieted squeegee activity for a period of time that took place in the summer of 2022. So it was July, and 48-year-old Timothy Reynolds was driving in Baltimore City. Allegedly, he was approached by some squeegee kids, and the scene turned hostile, probably because, as I said, maybe he hit them with the horn honking and the get the fuck away from my car, and then they're like, hey, man, don't talk to us like that. You don't got to be rude. And now it's all this back and forth and all this animosity and things boil over instead of being tempered down. Anyway, this guy, Timothy Reynolds, jumps out of his car with a baseball bat. He's swinging the baseball bat around. Get away from my car, this, that, and the third. the kids start to kind of scatter back. One of the kids scatters back, grabs his backpack, pulls a gun out of the book bag, shoots Timothy Reynolds 5 times.
Wow.
He stumbles, he staggers back to his car, he passes away in his car. The shooter was eventually identified as 14-year-old Tavon Scott. This kid was like a couple days away from turning 15. 14 years old.
Wow.
And again, with when I gun. Say the problem's bigger than the Squeegee Boys, is like the problem is like, why does this 14-year-old have a gun? Why does this 14-year-old feel the need to carry a gun around? Why is a 14-year-old, because that I get, 14 is too young to get a job. So why does this 14-year-old feel the need to go out and make money? You know, like, that's not the response. If you want to make, like, friend, you had a job. You were the first person I knew that worked. You were, like, working at a retirement home or whatever you were doing. I was like, I'm not doing that. I want to work somewhere fun because I didn't need money. Cause I just wanted to make money. Not that you needed money, but you were like, I want money. I want shoes. I want to be able to. And I was like, I don't know. I don't really wear shoes. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just wear simple shoes. I don't need a job. I don't want to go to a job. But you were working. But this idea that, no, man, these kids, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. That's the bigger issue. Like, why do these kids, they're not working. And maybe some of them are working for things that they want. But if the narrative is, well, either these kids die or they squeegee. Like, that's the narrative that keeps these bills from being passed to ban it and make it, if you are out here, you get arrested. Because the compassionate liberal side comes in and is like, well, what are these kids supposed to starve to death? You know, and it's like the bigger problem is why is it these kids' responsibilities to make sure they don't starve to death? Like, that's the bigger question. But instead, we're like, well, what if we paid them to do this, or what if we paid them to do that instead of squeegeeing, or what if we, you know, said you could squeegee in this designated area? And all it's like, we need to solve the issue as to why a 14-year-old kid doesn't have food and feels like he needs to go out and do a job to eat. And not just like, go do a job because I want to save some money and buy myself a Nintendo DS or whatever these kids are playing. Nintendo Switch.
I'm trying to find a way to put this. I don't think, let me just go urgency. I just don't think the urgency of they saying they're not going. Now, I said they looking for a meal, but I'm not saying like they're going to die of, you know, malnourishment or whatever. If they don't, I'm not going that far with it because like, I don't know about getting guns in the inner city, but I don't think you can just. I don't know if you can just find one. No, you have to
pay something.
You're getting something from somewhere. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if I'm. If they carrying you 14 years old, carrying, I'm not willing to go there. And like, where it's like, oh well, they don't eat. If they don't do this, they don't eat. It's like, I don't know about that, man. I just think it's a couple dollars. They want to make a couple dollars, and they want to get some new shoes or something. It's something there. I don't know if all of them can't have the situations where they're like, we need to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm willing to believe that. I just want the new shoes that come out.
You know, or I did sell drugs and it wasn't for me. I got caught up, whatever. I don't go to school and I don't want to sell drugs, so I'm going to do this job, which I guess is admirable in the sense, I guess you're not selling drugs, but it's still being a public nuisance. I don't know. It's just tough. But anyway, my point is, and this is, I want to speak specifically to this young man who was 14 years old. In his circumstance, I'm not going to speak to all parenting situations and everything, but it seemed like his mom in this circumstance did everything wrong. It just kind of came across very not right and gross. First of all, this kid's truant all the time. He's doing this job. And her statement to the city, when people were upset about this whole circumstance and, you know, how the trial eventually started to go, and she was like, my son was out there working to try to make some money to pay for his birthday party. And to me, if this sounds insensitive, I'm sorry, but it's just the reality. Like, how sad is that you feel comfortable telling the world that your son felt like he needed to pay for his own birthday party? And that's why he was out there. Yeah. Like, either you come up with a way to do a cheap birthday party, you celebrate your son. Like, what do you mean he was out there trying to make some money to for his birthday party?
It had to be more than that.
It just is no account. Taking no accountability. Like, your son shot somebody. I understand that he came out with a baseball bat and everything like that. But this idea that we're just going to only focus on the quick split second moment that led to somebody being murdered, and not like, why is your son panhandling on the side of the road during school hours? Why did he have a gun in his book bag? Why does he feel the need to have to pay for his own birthday party? And he's 14 years old. I don't, like, we need to look at those circumstances. How do we fix the situation to where we don't live in a society where those issues persist? And then the symptom of that is kids go out and panhandle for money.
Yeah.
And that's a bigger conversation and a bigger issue, but, like, that's the issue. There is no way to fix these squeegee kids. It's almost like there's all this conversation today about terrorism, and it's like, how do we end terrorism? The more you terrorize people, and you bomb people, when you kill somebody in front of their family, you make another terrorist. So this idea that you're like, I'm going to end terrorism, it's like, no, no, no. When you blew up that hospital or you blew up this building and then a kid survived and he crawled out of the wreckage and he found the body of his family, he's going to grow up and become what you call a terrorist, because he's going to want to get back at the people who did this to him. So there is no, like, ending terrorism. The more violence begets violence. There's all simple terms for everything we talk about and have these big conversations about. There's no way to end terrorism by killing people and they just stop being terrorists. There's just no way to end it. And there's no way to end poverty or end squeegee boys by just, like, moving around the issue, kicking the can somewhere else. It just, you need to fix the root of the problem and not try to move around the byproduct of the bigger issue. It's just, I don't know.
I think they need to find a way to, because I don't know if you can, because I think I saw, you can't, the reason why they haven't banned it, because you can't ban panhandling. So the only other alternate route you can do is by moving it. Right. So what they did was they just banned certain zones where, like, the,
so it's a no squeegee zone.
You just no squeegee zone. So there was Mount Royal Avenue, North Avenue, Interstate 83, Sinclair Lane, Moravia Road, President Street, Jones Falls Expressway, and obviously this is all
regional. Yeah, right.
And this is Martin Luther King Boulevard and Conway Street, Light Street.
Mm-hmm.
So those
hot spots, Inner Harbor, spots, touristy, high traffic.
Where it's where it was, like, a lot of them, and it was all these incidents of, like, fights and stuff like that, and assaults. But he was like, okay, let's just
move them,
ban these streets. I guess just have patrol going around to make sure nobody's there, and they just move to other streets. And I guess that's the only thing they can do in the areas.
This was, and also they would just have police out there giving the kids a hard time, like, just there watching them. They weren't doing anything, but the police presence made the kids less likely to be there. So basically, the neighborhoods and the streets that you just said, in order to get them to not be there, they just have some cops posted up, just to make sure everything's going copacetic and the interactions are respectful and everything like that. But that presence of police, it's like antagonistic, and that level of antagonism led a lot of the kids to go away. But after Timothy Reynolds was killed, it was pretty quiet for a while, because the squeegee boys became public enemy number one. So I remember there was a time in 2022 after I heard about this that the squeegee boys just weren't outside. They knew it was hot. It's like, if you just read the headline, it's like, guy got killed by a squeegee boy. He got shot. Nobody's worried about a baseball bat or whatever. Who was justified, if it was self-defense, whatever. All they know is these squeegee boys, some of them have guns, and one of them shot a guy who was driving a car. So it's like, they just shouldn't be out here. It was super hot for squeegee boys for a period of time. But guess what? Time heals all wounds. They're back out there. So while shit was hot and it was bad and it looked bad on them and whatever, his defense leaned heavily on the self-defense argument, and he ended up being found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. They wanted him on, like, first-degree murder charges. So he beat those, and he was found guilty, and he got sentenced to 15 years in prison, which he won't do half of that, I don't think.
What, in, like, juvie? In prison?
Well, prison, juvenile, he was 16 when he was charged, when he was sentenced, so he'll probably do juvenile for a couple years, because he wasn't charged, I don't think he was charged as an adult. So he'll probably do juvenile for a couple of years, then transfer over to a maximum security prison, and then do, like, 5 years, and then be out probably by 2030, I expect this kid to be home.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, rest in peace to Timothy Reynolds, but at the same time, you can't get out of your car with a baseball bat and be flinging the baseball bat around. You know, I'm not saying he deserved to be killed, but sometimes you reach your boiling point. I don't know.
But we don't know how many times he takes that commute, that route to work.
This might have been the last straw. That's my thing, man. Like, everybody's talking about the squeegee kids' lives and all this shit. You're talking about thousands of people driving in cars. You don't know all those thousands of stories of people, their money problems. Just because I got a car don't mean I'm straight. I know you're a kid. You can't, My wife might have just died. I might be going through the hardest time of my life, and now you coming over here spraying my car. I don't want to have to explain to you why I don't have money. Yeah. I'm not in the mood. I'm in a tough space mentally, and I'm not trying to have this war words like, come on, man, you don't got a dollar, a quarter. You don't got 50 cents. I see some money right there in your center console. I can't get three of those dollars that you got loose in there. It's like, bro, no, because understand, listen, I'm taking this cash. I'm going. I got to go give this money to somebody and this, that, and the third. No, man, come on, man. Now they're spraying it. It's like, what the fuck is it? What is happening?
Yeah, you know,
so it's people in those cars are going through shit, too.
It's true.
So it's just, you talk about compassion. It's got to be a two-way street. I don't know, bro. Like, I don't got it. It's hard out here right now. People don't have it, bro. You coming up asking people for $5, it might be my last $5. And now I'm the villain because I don't have it? It's a tough one, man. I don't know. But again, I don't want to come across as not having compassion, but it's a bigger issue, bro. And the people in the car are not the people responsible for solving it. Like, it can't be on them. We're at the, like, this is the last point of the ladder. Like, we got to start fixing stuff at higher points on the rungs, man. Like, it shouldn't be the responsibility of the people trying to get to work to, like, feed these kids. Like, that's what city programs are for, and food stamps and, you know, after school programs, whatever it is, man. Baltimore City has 3 public pools that are shut down. Public libraries are not funded, so a lot of them are being closed. Schools themselves are being shut down. There's better places to spend the funding that they take our tax dollars out, and now it's like, you tax the shit out of me, and I gotta pay out of pocket literally to feed the kids that the city can't take care of. So that's like double tax. It's just tough, man, that the buck is falling on the people. I understand these kids are struggling, but, bro, everybody's struggling, and I'm not trying to get into arguments with kids about $5. It's just not how I'm trying to spend my commute.
Right. I shouldn't have to explain myself to anybody, let alone some squeegee boys. I shouldn't have to do that, but nobody deserves to die in a situation like this, and it's so tragic and unfortunate, but that person could have been on his, like, man, I'm just tired of this shit.
At the end of my rope.
I mean, like, and for a 14-year-old to have a gun is...
it's crazy.
That's a totally different... That's a totally different conversation, man. You can... That's wild. And for the mom, that's unacceptable. Period.
Yeah, the kid, man.
What do you mean, birthday party? What did he was trying to get a hotel party or something where you didn't... was like, no, you got to go out and make that money. And then he was like, all right.
Yeah. The kid made a rap song from prison. The family took this very personal. I listened to the rap song. I'm not going to play it. I listened to the rap song.
This kid?
This song. His name was Lore 3. L-O-R 3. That's how we say little here in Baltimore. Lore, L-O-R. Yeah, Lore, so his name was Lore 3. And the family felt like he was talking about Timothy Reynolds being killed. But when I listened to the song, it just sounded like generic rap shit that these rappers say. Don't mess with me. I'll deal with you. It was a lot of that, like, boisterous, tough guy talk. But it didn't feel like it was a diss to this guy that he killed. Go ahead.
I think it all depends on what ears hear it, though.
Oh, for sure. You're not the family of a victim. Yeah, of course. Right, you bringing up the backpack.
And you don't listen to the music.
For sure. The backpack reference was very much like, because the backpack was a big part of the story. Like, he went in the backpack because it was like, were they fleeing and had time to go grab his backpack and take the gun out? There was also some controversy about whether or not it was his backpack, whether or not this kid did the shooting because they found a Cash App card in the book bag that belonged to another kid. And not to make it fit for him, but me and you as kids have gone to play basketball. One of us got a book bag. We throw everything in the one kid's book bag. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know who did the shooting, but they charged this kid with it. But the backpack was a kind of a focal point of the trial. Like, it was a big piece of evidence. But yeah, the family of Timothy Reynolds really took issue with this kid making a rap song. And then his mom was on Facebook sharing it, like, hey, y'all, go support my son's music while he's in jail fighting a case, right? So she's worried about everything but that. Now, they turned the comments off on the music video instead of taking it down, which tells me they want to get the views.
It's on YouTube? Mm-hmm.
They want to get the views, but they don't want the negative comments, which is gross. And also, another thing that was gross to me is that this kid's in prison and decided to make a rap song, because to me, that means he goes, well, I'm hot right now. Like, in the news. I'm a part of this case. It's no better time for me to feature on a song than now because everybody's talking about me. And that's, and again, he's 16, so I get the dumb mentality. But when you look at his mom being in this corner, his mom's like, yeah, make the song and I'll share it. Instead of being like, hey, not right now. Don't make a song about killing somebody or shooting a gun. Don't say anything about guns in a, on a song while you're in from the, he made the, he rapped it from the prison phone.
Yeah, I can't find the video.
Yeah, it was something called like I had to find a way.
LOR3. Number three.
If I find it, I'm gonna play it. Now you got me looking for it.
Yeah, because I see something on here, but it's like this person has a music video from 2 weeks ago.
No,
like,
the picture is him like a jail picture.
Oh no, this is not it. I don't know what this one is. But there's a video on here that says
I had
like,
to get it. I'll play it right now. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But what were you gonna say while I load it up?
No, I'm saying if there's some like news footage where like the headline of the title of the video says surveillance video shows suspect laughing after shooting.
Want to know? I took my
yeah. So it's kind of a very callous situation, bro. I don't know. It's weird. I can't get it to sync up. But anyway, it's called I Had to Get It by Lure 3. I can't.
Is it Lure 3 or Lure B? Oh, it is Lure 3. I see.
It's a picture of him. Okay. If you can, because I can't, my laptop's not hooked up to my board, so I can't play it.
Yeah, I'm not. We're not.
We don't have to play it. But as you can see, Fran, the picture, if you look at the right one, it's him like at the jail.
He has like the mask on. Yeah,
he's at the jail phone box where you, like the two-way screen where you talk to people. Like he took a picture from one of those. Yeah, man.
I do want to play this clip.
Oh, please, go ahead.
It looks like a family of three sitting at a stoplight and being approached by some squeegee boys.
Mm-hmm.
This is all caught on dash cam. We sit at the stoplight. Minding their business.
Right. Just driving.
She waved her hand, they propped up, and she waves her hand, waving them off.
That's no. No. Get the hell away.
Now he's getting out.
Get away from the car.
This is in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Hey, get the hell away from the car.
And now I was like, what you mean, get the hell away? Who are you cussing at? You know what I'm saying? Like, the
fuck? Fighting, yep. And he made assault.
That
got into a full fight.
That quick.
A full fight.
That quick.
He went up to the car and the guy waved him off like,
no.
No. Then he goes to the same side. He goes to, because I think his two daughters in the back. Yeah. It was a guy driving.
So maybe
then
they'll
the,
give
the
it
guy
to
goes
me.
To the back, to the back window and is like looking in. Goes around the car, knocks on the window, and he's like, no, get away. Now it's like, I said no.
Right.
Now it's like, get away. Now it's like, now I'm like, get away from my car.
I got my family in here.
I got my family. Now you need to get away from
my car. We've talked about it where it's like, so you want me to try to understand this kid's life and his struggles and everything. Like, I got, my kids are in the car. I don't care. I'm protecting mine. I got my own story and my own family and all that shit. So what about that guy? These kids, for the most part, they're all friends. So now you're in a fight with one kid. Now all of a sudden you're in a fight with six kids.
You're not in a fight with, yeah, right.
So it just is like, it's a volatile situation, bro. And people are fed up. And so there's just no room for this understanding and this compassion that people want to see from us. I understand if you're a compassionate, bleeding heart person and you feel like these programs need to exist, I feel you. And I hope that they exist someday. But you can't expect me to every day come with this energy when I'm being met with antagonistic or even just annoying people spraying my car, knocking on my windows. Like, I can't be expected to have this philanthropic, like, I got somewhere to be, bro. I got my own problems. I got my own issues. I got my own money struggles. I don't have the time or the bandwidth to, like, sit at this light and explain to you why I don't have $5.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want people to listen to what we're saying and not listen to the first have selective.
Yeah. Or the jokes. Like, I'm going to make the jokes because it's a situation that has some funny elements to it. But
I don't want people to have selective hearing and they hear a couple things and then they go on Facebook page and kind of like tagging me. It's like, listen to the whole episode. I don't want, and I want it to be clear that like we're coming on here saying, at least me anyway, I'm like, I totally understand these kids are like, they live in the inner city, they going through whatever they're going
through.
It's
hard, like, I get it. Eat.
It's hard. I completely understand that. But at the same time, the only thing I can control is what I can control. I can't control what they're going through. I got to go to work. I don't have cash to give out to people, whatever. But then, if I take it away from my car that I own, that I pay for, it's like get away from my car. Then I get aggressive. And it's like, but like you making me go there. That's not how I felt when I left out the house. You see what I'm saying?
Nice,
so like,
day, man.
I just want people to, I don't want people to come like, I don't want it to sound like at least me coming on here like bash, like I understand what the kids are going through, trying to make money, whatever, but it's like at the same time, it's like what they're doing it's just not needed. It's not needed at all.
It's not the way.
Bottles of water, that's different. It's hot, summertime, 90 degrees.
I bought bottles of water.
That's different.
I can't count how many times I bought a bottle of water, a can of Sunkist, a candy bar. If you really are out there on your entrepreneur shit, you might not get me every time, but if I see you out there, you're like, man, it's a hot day, it's 85 degrees, bro, you want a bottle of water? I'm like, hey, man, I got you. Even what you said about taking the squeegee shit to the next level, you know, doing a full, you know what I mean? You know how much people get paid to do a full detail? Why don't you get talented, get some skill, learn how to...
something?
That's what I'm saying. Like, wipe that, learn how to wipe a whole car off.
Yeah. But also, water bottles, candy, that's an investment.
It's an investment.
You can't go out here and like, start inviting people because, like, that's an investment you have. You can't just, like, leave it. You're going to leave it there on the street?
Right, exactly.
Now you just lost all the money.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't do that. So now
lost the product.
You're approaching it completely different than me having a bottle of some soap and water. I don't even know if soap water. I don't even know what's in the thing. Who knows?
What about some bit? You want to call these kids entrepreneurs? Why don't you offer them an entrepreneurship program where you go, hey, man, listen, you've been squeezing it for 6 months. You're making $40 an hour sometimes? You're making $40 an hour sometimes? Because, you know, it's not every day. Some days it might be like, I made $50 today. I made $100 a day. I made $20 today. But you've been doing this shit for 6 months. Guess what? You can take that money. Now you're selling water bottles. A case of water costs about $5. Listen, inflation is real out here, but you can still get a case of some generic water for under $10. You can get a case of like 40, 50 water bottles for under $10, a bag of ice and a cooler. That's a day of your earnings, maybe. But now you didn't put yourself in a position to be a more respectable business and make money. That's all I'm saying, bro. Like, we got to give these kids tools. We can't just try to pacify them and give them excuses to keep doing the stuff that they're doing. You gotta give these kids the resources to pull themselves out of a situation, not just find ways to let them keep being stuck in the situations that they're in.
It depends. It's all on if they wanna accept the help.
Exactly.
You can't make the kids that like you. Like we offering business management classes, entrepreneurial
jobs,
classes, whatever. And if they go like, we don't. Man, fuck that.
Yeah.
And he goes like, I don't know what I don't know what else you want us to do. And that's the only thing you can do. That's it.
Yes.
That's it. So, but I don't think now the government wasting tax dollars on
all these dumb programs
was like it's a waste of money.
Any program that's talking about supplementing these kids' income from being squeegee boys, I'm just not for. If you're talking about feeding kids, if you're talking about programs that will improve these kids' lives, but anything that's saying, like, we're going to pay you guys not to squeegee is so, it feels like a waste of my tax dollars. And I hate to sound like a curmudgeon-y old man, but, like, that's just, when we don't have public pools open, libraries are being closed, schools don't have air conditioning, the idea that we're taking kids who have been fucked by the system, who are truant, not going to school, whether it's home life problems, whatever, these kids aren't going to school, don't have a school to go to, don't have after school programs, and now we're taking those tax dollars and being like, we're just going to throw them at the kids at the most base level of the problem instead of trying to fund it from the top down and give them a reason to want to go to school, give them a reason to want to go to after school programs.
Can't baby them.
That's what
Can't
I'm saying. It's like, it's just like, I don't want to see my money go there.
Yeah. Like, well, look, we're trying to clean the city up. Just take the, be giving the money to not, just like, That's not.
You're going to make more squeegee boys. I made my joke, but I'm just like, literally, you're going to make more. How do you vet
who? They giving up free money? I'll go out there. I'll go like, no, shit. I'll shit. They giving up $200 today? No.
I'm a squeegee boy. So again, like, this podcast is not going to solve the problem. I don't know the answer, but.
Oh.
It is a problem. Like, you know, we can't just say it's not a problem. I told two stories in this episode where people, guns were fired. Now some of these kids are scamming. And again, when I said it, not all black people are monolithic. Not all Hispanic people are monolithic. Not all squeegee boys are monolithic. But if somebody got scammed for $2,200 on the Cash App, then squeegee boys are scammers now. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't be like, well, but I'm David. I'm not I don't care, bro. You got a squeegee in your hand. I'm holding you to the same. One squeegee kid shot somebody. Another squeegee kid scammed a lady out of $2,200. These are the type of things that y'all do, and you just can't escape it. I'm sorry. Like, you got to deal with the negative attention and the infamy and all of that shit that has come from other people who chose to pick up a squeegee and go out there on those corners. You don't get to be like, well, no, I'm just like trying to save some money to buy my little brother a birthday cake. I'm sorry. I don't have time to hear each individual story, bro. I done heard too many messed up stories. I got my family in the car. I'm at this red light. Don't come near my car. And that's just what it is at this point. I'm sorry. It just is the point. I don't have any. Times are hard, bro. I got a baby on the way. I got no compassion. Do not touch my car. Like, that's just how I feel. If I want to volunteer, if I want to go to these schools, which I've done, you know, go to like a career day and tell kids about jobs that don't require college education, which I've done. If I want to go and down to a homeless shelter and give out bags with food in them, which I've done, clothes, gloves, which I've done, I will take my time and try to volunteer my time to better my community. That's how I'll do that on my own time. It's not my responsibility when I'm at this red light to try to fix the world. You got to get away from my car. And that's just how I feel about it at this point. I got no compassion for that shit at the light.
Yeah. You got more experience because I don't need to go to the city at all. So I don't run into squeegee boys at all.
But you don't until you do. Again, I don't know this guy's experience, this guy Timothy Reynolds. I don't know how often he went to the city, but all it takes is one time of you being like, I'm going to take my kids to support Discovery. I'm going to take my kids to an Orioles game. You know, and just one day it could just go sideways for somebody like it did for this guy Timothy Reynolds, or it did for this guy who, like, picked up three people who had squeegees and was like, nah, man, I'm John Wick today. So yeah, it's dangerous on both sides. These kids are – people might come back around for vengeance. But also, like, you know what I'm saying? You might chump, not to use these words, because these are adults dealing with kids. You got to just learn to take it on the chin. But you might get chumped by one of these squeegee kids on a Monday, and one of these guys might come back around on a Friday and go, that's the kid that, like, spit on my car and called me a bitch, and I drove off. I'm not driving off today. I'm going to run him over. This is the kind of...
I'm not getting out.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the kind of shit that... These kids are just as in danger as the people in the car. Like, it just is... It's a volatile situation. That's my only. That's my last thoughts on it, Fran. If you want to close with anything else, feel free. But
yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, they've tried off type of different avenues of figuring it out. They can't ban it, can't handle it. And you can move them, but they're just gonna find new locations, new hotspots. I mean, I don't know, but I don't suggest people getting out of their car. Don't roll your windows down. No. Don't get out of your car. If you're gonna do it, crack it. You know, if you have a dollar, slip a dollar through there. Like, but I'm not going to. It's, you know what? It reminds me of something. There was a time where I would walk in the store and, like, you know, I didn't, what I was looking for, I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where I was like, let me just buy something. So I don't like them. I don't know. I'm sure somebody may can relate to this, but, like, you go, I don't want to look like I'm stealing. So let me just buy
something.
And I know there's somebody who's commute through the city every day and they go, let me just have like $5 or ones in here.
Cause I got to do this every day.
From Monday through Friday, where I could just go give them a dollar and I can just
move on.
Peaceful. I can just move on. I'm sure there's people that do that. And that's what it reminds me of, was like, if I just have it and I get, they'll leave me alone and then that's it. I don't have to have the anxiety of like me sitting at a stoplight or like stopping. Cause what I would do, I would slow down all the way back.
So you could pull up when they come towards you.
Right. So as they're walking, I'm still moving. and they can just go past me. That's what I would do. That's what I
have that strategy in my bag too.
You've mastered that?
Yeah, I got that strategy in my bag.
And it's like, yeah, but I know there's people that's like, let me just have $5. It's like going through the tolls.
But that's crazy. Using that terminology is crazy. Don't get me fired up again.
It's like
bro.
Going
that's
through the
toll. Crazy, bro. That's extortion.
Let me just have.
That's extortion, bro. That's what it is. It's lightweight right, extortion, bro. That's crazy. The toll. I gotta pay the toll, man. You know, you're going down Light Street. You know, you gotta pay the
toll.
Gotta pay the squeegee toll.
Gotta pay the toll. Yeah.
Now you're like a customer. They know you by your face. They expect your money.
Car.
Now you're a bitch. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like if they're like, hey man, how you doing, Mr. John? Yeah, okay, my $5 again. All right, you have a nice day. We're not going to bother you because we know you got our money on time. You fucking Herb. That's how I feel. That's how that would feel to me. That's how that would feel to me. And that feels very like, that's extortion. I know these are kids, and I get it. The kids, they're young, or whatever. But that if you're talking about a toll, that's a crazy way to phrase it, but that's accurate, bro. Like, it feels like
it's
a
intimidation.
Toll.
I mean, you don't know what intimidation can, how far it can go and what it can do to people. It's like, I don't even. Cause you get anxiety. You sitting there like, oh shit, they are here. I catch the light every goddamn day. I can't never seem to catch the green light on this block. I catch the green light. Let me just have the dollar. So then I give it to him. And I'm like, I'm at peace. I'm my anxiety is gone. I'm not like holding my breath. I just move about my day. That's probably what people do. That's probably what some people do.
For sure. What
probably
some people
white
do.
People. They probably go, let me just have piles in here. Just give them dollars.
Get this fucking, get them away from my car. All right, anyway. hey, friend, you got any recommendations before we get out of here?
I text you last night. I hit you up because I was about to watch that movie.
American Author.
Like, I'm not going to watch it. Right. American Fiction.
American Fiction, yes.
Because I was about to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm not going to
No, you
got to
be up. Just, yeah, this is, yeah, you
got
to be up.
Yeah, you got to be up, right. But then I got on that. What pissed me off, I went, what's on Prime? Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, what's Buy Rent? I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh, did I rent it? Damn, my bad. Okay, no, my bad.
I thought it was free.
Okay, hold on. My bad. I thought it was free. My bad. I apologize. I forgot that I had rented it. Because it no, wasn't moved there. It was like a month ago. Like, it just came on the VOD.
So it's still hot.
Yeah, it's still hot.
Okay, so it's still new. Okay. Yeah. I was like, hell, I'm gonna probably buy, but I just thought it was gonna be
free
because like
I
now
set you up.
I
set
got
you up.
Extra buttons.
Here's one that is free. Let me tell you my recommendation because this one I know you'll like. It surprised me because the cast is funny, but it really was a classic. It felt like an old like Adam Sandler, like a Happy Gilmore or that movie where the Zac Efron's in it, but that movie where Zac Efron and Seth Rogen like they're a fraternity house and then the family moves in next door and they're beefing with each other. One of those kind of like Pineapple Express.
That's not 21 Jump Street.
No, it's not 21 Jump Street.
What's that?
I want to say Knocked Up. I know it's not Knocked Up, but I just can't remember. It's Dave Franco, Zac Efron, and then a family moves in next door, but the house next door is a frat. Right. Anyway, Ricky Stenicki on Amazon Prime. It's Zac Efron, Andrew Santino, John Cena.
Okay.
And the black guy, I can't remember his name. He seems like a young guy coming in. He's like an up-and-coming guy. But this movie's so funny and dumb and silly. And John Cena is underrated. John Cena has a movie, a TV show on HBO Max. It's a DC show. It's like a superhero show. I can't remember anything right now. It's fucking sinus infection. It's fucking
what is it on? It's Netflix?
The movie I'm talking about or the show?
Yeah.
The movie's on Amazon Prime. Yeah. It's free. It's like an Amazon Prime original. It's called Ricky Stenicki. But John Cena, underrated. I don't know if I've ever bigged up this show, but the show, he's like Captain America, but like it's dirty. Like it's like a rated R show. He cusses and has sex with aliens and all this crazy shit. It's like the good soldier or the gladiator or it's one of those kind of words. I can't remember. Either way, John Cena's underrated, hilarious, bro. I know he was funny. You remember Trainwreck, that movie with LeBron James was in it?
Yeah.
He was in that movie. He's like, I'll suck your dick right now. He said something like that to the guy in the movie theater. John Cena's low-key hilarious, and he is hilarious in this movie, Ricky Stenicki. It's free, and I know you'll love it. This was American Fiction. I can't guarantee that you'll like it. Ricky Stenicki, I'm like, no, Fran would love this. This is a hilarious movie. It's silly. It's quick. It's an easy watch. Definitely highly recommend to you and to everybody out there listening, Ricky Stenicki. It's a great time. It's a great Friday night watch with your spouse, not with the kids because it's rated R movie, but it's a funny movie, man. It's really funny.
Yeah. Okay. I got to save. Okay.
Yeah. Ricky.
I'm gonna check it out.
Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah. I don't have any other recommendations. I've been listening to the or watching the now this is about sports. We can pet on this, but like I've been watching the LeBron James, JJ Redick podcast.
Great podcast.
Which is the best. It's my favorite podcast. It's the best. If anybody into sports, like really in the deep, like basketball, it's like it's the best podcast. My favorite podcast right now I've ever listened to.
Yeah.
Cause it's just two geniuses who understand the game at a totally different level. Like, I mean the thing about it is they can take this show where they can get
other geniuses.
They're not gonna get Michael Jordan on the show, but they can get, you know, certain people to come in. And it kind of sucks. What made me sad, this is what made me sad, and that's why I brought it up. Because I went like, Kobe can't be on this show.
Yeah.
He would have been the perfect person.
He had that show, Details, on ESPN Plus. It was kind of similar.
Yes. Those three.
Oh, man.
Or just LeBron James and Kobe. I was like, ah.
That would have been brilliant.
I teared up. I said, man, this is, Kobe should be on this show.
Yeah.
100%.
I love that podcast because I think it's gonna do wonders for the next generation of kids if they pay attention, because I think basketball, a lot of people when they look at the NBA, they go, well, everybody's just 7 feet tall and they can jump out of the gym and this, that, and the third. And LeBron James is the guy that's saying, yes, I'm all those things, but I also, this is a science. It's not just like, no, whoever can shoot the, Steph Curry, whoever can just shoot the ball the most and then get it in the hoop the most, is like, there's so many things happening to when this happens and I see this collapse. And basketball, a lot of people think it's just whoever's the best athlete wins. And LeBron James and J.J. Redick are saying, no. There's so many things happening that's not just like, set a pick, and then I go around the pick, and I'm faster than you, and I get to the rim. They broke down, and we are getting very sports talk, but it's whatever, I don't care. But they broke down, like, how Luka Doncic scored 70 points a few months, like a month ago. It wasn't just like, Luka Doncic is so good, he scored 70 points. It's like, no, he... There's this thing that happens where you can switch or do this, and people have to, you either have to do it or not do it. And when they didn't do it, he could eat all night long. They broke it down in the most simplest terms where if you just look at the score sheet and you didn't watch the game, you go, damn, he must have been going crazy and shooting. It's like,
they
gave him a choice.
They gave up.
Yep. And he took it.
Pick your poison. And it was like, you got to give up something. And what they gave up, he was like, and he had 17. I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. But hey guys, listen, again, one last time, Fran, thank you to you. Thank you to anybody who made a donation to the GoFundMe, sent me a message of kind words. It's all meant so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. It warmed my little heart, you know, it made my heart grow three sizes bigger that day and every day since. Even though we just spent the last like 45 minutes to an hour talking about not giving charitable donations to children. That is not the content of my character. You know, I have my feelings about the dangers of that situation and putting kids in tough situations like that. Whatever. I'm grateful to the people who chose to give to my squeegee boy cause. And I don't know, man. This community is so amazing, and I'm so grateful to you guys. And, you know, I got no words. I'm kind of speechless. But one thing I will say is the level of appreciation, it's just not enough words for it. So I'm really am thankful to you, Fran, and to everybody who took time out of their day in that way. So I really appreciate it.
Look, the link is still up. Anything helps. Share helps. A little donation helps. Whatever, small or big, it all helps. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, join the Facebook group.
We're having a blast over there. We're having a blast.
Alvin is back. Alvin is back over there. Yeah. Alvin is back.
I forgot how much I missed it, man. I forgot how much I missed it. It feels good to be back.
Go buy tickets. Tickets are still available for the show.
Portland, Oregon, May 4th, guys. The ticket is available in the podcast description. So we would love to see you in Portland. Come through, have a good time.
Good time.
And for those of you who have tickets, see you in Portland, man.
Also, if you're going to CrimeCon, is the link still available?
Yeah, listen, use promo code AFFIRMATIVE to get 10% off your ticket if you haven't bought one yet. It really helps us a lot if you do that. And if you already have a ticket, we'll see you in Nashville, Tennessee. We're driving down. We're going to be doing a little
driving
road trip.
Down,
maybe we'll go live. Me and Fran have discussed
content. Oh, man.
Yeah, we've discussed stopping at a Long John Silver's. That's very Patreon exclusive conversation for that we've had. But we've discussed stopping at a Long John Silver's and trying Long John Silver's for the first time, because we've had a discussion about which is the worst fast food chain. You can find that conversation over there on Patreon. But, folks, I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans, and we will see you guys next week.
Deuces.